this, and then you'd have an argument and discussion. And usually, I think we commonly would have the feeling that when all the questions have been answered and all the argument has been carried through to its logical conclusions, and the person doesn't have any more questions to ask, then they can become a Christian. And so the person says, yes, they do believe this, they now understand that, they can see that, and they're willing now to have this happen to them, and they say yes, and they would become a Christian. Now, I can accept all of that in as far as it goes, but then if we, as it were, close the book, and in another week or so we tell them some more, and another time or so we tell them some more, and we ask them to come to Sunday school and learn some more, and we ask them to come to church and learn some more, and the preacher will preach to them some more about explaining about what this means, explaining what it means, and showing them what it means, and explaining what it means. All sounds as if it was proper, but I want to bring to your mind now this thought, that's not enough. I have been trying to think in my mind how I would share it with you. Suppose when I go to a certain city, someone asks me, have I ever seen this new building? And I say, perhaps I could say to them, no, I haven't seen it. They'll say, well, I'm going to show it to you. So they take me downtown to a certain point, and two or three blocks away they point to it and say, there is the building. Yes, that's the building. Shall I then turn away and walk away and say, I've seen that building? I have seen it, it's true. And yet I haven't really seen it, as you know very well, especially if you have an office in that building. I haven't been inside of it. There is a way in which, if I were going to see that building, I should go over to it, I should go in, I should get in the elevator, I should go to one floor and another floor, I should go into the offices. I should see the arrangements, I should see what's in there, and then I would be seeing the building. Perhaps you can think of it in connection with seeing a park. Have you ever traveled into a new city and had someone say, have you ever seen our park? And you say, no, I've never been at that park. I've heard about it, never been there. Say, well, I'll show it to you. And so they drive by on the street and they point to it, and there you can see the trees and you can see the various, the green grass and the big lawns that there are in the park. And you drive by outside on the street, and they point to it and say, there it is, and that's the place you go in. Then you could drive along and say, I saw the park. But did you see the park? You just saw the entrance. If you were going to see that park, you'd have to go in that entrance and up one street and down another and go around there and see where the lake is and go around over there and see where the flowers are and go around there and see where the pavilion is and see what's in the pavilion and see the playground and see the ball grounds. All these things would be in the park. That may be a rather awkward illustration, but that's something like this business of becoming a Christian. There is more to it than just what you hear. And now we're studying just now in the book of Acts, and we're at the 8th chapter. And if you will remember in the 8th chapter where we've been reading and studying, we've been reading about how Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. And when he preached the gospel down in Samaria, many people believed. And they turned to him, and they saw the things that he did, and they heard what he said, they were impressed by it, and they believed. Now when the church at Jerusalem heard that many of the Samaritans believed in the gospel, they sent two of their best preachers, Peter and John, down there, who were to make sure that these people really come to understand and enter into the experience that we call Christian, that they actually would become Christians. The language is to put that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because that's part of being a Christian. And so we read now, and we're going to be starting to read at verse 17 in chapter 8 in the book of Acts, verse 17. We have just been reading in verses 14 and 15 and 16 how when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This would be strange to a good many people. It may be strange to some of us. These folks had been taught much about the gospel, and they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not entered into actual relationship with God, which is involved when the Holy Spirit comes to be in your heart. There is such a thing as hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, accepting it as true, and yet not entering into that close fellowship with God which follows when you receive consciously, understandably, intelligently, aware of what you're doing, you receive the presence of God into your soul when you receive the Holy Spirit. This can actually be induced, apparently, by men like Peter and John who, understanding about it, show you about it, teach you about it, pray for you, personally help you enter into this experience of actually having God in your own soul. And that's what happened here. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now we read on in verse 18. And when Simon, you remember he was the sorcerer who had become a Christian too, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." And in this he revealed that he was still trying to make a big man of himself. When he saw Peter and John being used to lead these people into this fellowship with God by receiving the Holy Spirit, he offered them money so that he might have this, feeling it would put him in a place of great authority and power. Verse 20. Notice now we're in chapter 8, book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." This was this faithful preacher, Peter. And you know, it's hard for us at this distance to fully appreciate it. Simon is a very important person. Simon, you'll remember, was the most important person in the community before Philip came to preach there. I mean, Simon was the biggest man in the city. Everybody looked up to him. When he joined the church, it would be considered a tremendous big thing. He came forward and was baptized also by Philip to be counted among the Christians. Now Simon saw that Peter and John came down there to preach among them, and that these men were able to lead the people into a personal experience with the Lord that we call being filled by the Holy Spirit. And he saw them do this. He came to them privately and said, "I'll pay you, I'll give you money, you give me the power to do that." And Peter said, "You don't understand this thing at all. You haven't got the idea of it." And he said, "You better pray God that God will forgive you, because you thought you could buy him with money." Because, of course, Peter and John were only the servants of the Lord. It was the Lord Jesus himself who was doing this. And the Lord Jesus himself who gives the Holy Spirit to you. It's not spelled out too clearly here, and I'm going to talk as carefully as I can when I share it with you at this point. But I would say that the matter of receiving the Holy Spirit in the heart, that's not going to come apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who pours the Holy Spirit into your heart. In other words, let's have it like this. Unless I'm aware of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless I'm conscious of him, unless I'm looking to him, you see, I need to believe he's alive, that he's in actually dealing with me, and I'm actually dealing with him. And I'm willing to allow him to give the Holy Spirit to me to be permanently in me. I'm opening my heart to the idea that God's going to be in me from now on, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself is going to be actually dwelling in my soul. All of that is involved. And this is conveyed to us by men who, understanding these things, preach it and teach it and show it unto us. It's God that does it. You can't buy it. And Peter, judging this man, told him frankly, "You're all wrong on this. Your attitude is wrong. And you'd better pray God to forgive you. You've insulted him. asking him to come because you pay him money. And so then Simon answered and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I've read on through to the end of this particular incident, and without the feeling that I've at all covered it all, but just to bring it all to our minds. And as I've done so, I can't help but pause again in this moment I have with you at the close of this study, and again raise this question with you. In the matter of becoming a Christian and understanding, is it becoming clearer to you we need to enter into something? Something needs to happen to us? That there comes a stage when we need to come closer to God, open the heart, and let Him come in, and that He will Himself come to be in us? That is part of this thing of becoming a Christian. There's no such thing as being a Christian on one's own. I am a Christian in the Lord, and the Lord in me. It's as I put my trust in God, and God comes to be in me. Thank the Lord that He'll come to anybody. Anybody that will open his heart, the Lord will come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand. Help us to see these things. And help us to be faithful in thy sight to the light that shines in our soul. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.